Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. Now Craig, we finally have some earnings out of one of the majors, that is Yamana, reported some very strong earnings and also increased its dividend by 50%, I believe. This is on the back of what I'm expecting to be just the start of strong majors when it comes to earnings, thanks a lot to generally low energy prices and also the rising precious metals environment that we experienced for most of the third quarter, and a stabilization at higher prices. That's a key point there too. Craig, what's your takeaway from these Yamana earnings that are just kicking off this earnings season?
Man, if you're not making money as a producer at this point, I mean, you're time to get out of that stock, right? I mean, for crying out loud, the earnings are going to be stellar here in the third quarter, as they should be. The average selling price for gold for most producers in the second quarter, most of them were using 1710 to 1720. If you remember, the price was almost the entire quarter in a range between 1680 and 1780. So 1720 almost seemed a little low, but that was, if I recall, kind of the number most folks were using. Well, if you pull up a chart, I mean, you can do this ahead of the earnings reports yourself. I mean, just pull up any charting service, go back and, you know, set the dates for the quarter, you know, run yourself a 63 or 64 day moving average. So you get all the trading days and you get a price that's about 1930. So, I mean, for crying out loud, I mean, an extra $200 per ounce on your product with what you said, the input costs remaining low, you got to have great earnings. And then you're sitting on cash. You might as well, I mean, you want to make yourself look attractive on an institutional level, provide some yield. I mean, these hedge funds and pension funds and everybody else are desperate for yield when a 10-year treasury is at 75 basis points. So if you can show potential growth, earnings growth, a dividend, you know, that's above 1%. It makes your stock look pretty good. And so, yeah, we've had a challenging period here that I thought would have ended a few weeks ago that's continued now into October with production reports over the next few days and weeks. And then now, again, we're now starting, led by Yamana, as they always are, the first round of actual earnings reports. Man, you got to think that's good for the sector. And I'll give you one more thing, Corey. This is just tells you, I don't know, to me, makes it seem like, yeah, maybe the share is a little undervalued. As we came out of the first quarter earnings season, okay, the first quarter ends in March. Average price that was used then was $15.80. Those earnings were reported then in late April, early May. All fantastic, right? Because it's 1580 versus 14 something coming out of the fourth quarter of last year. The GDX, in kind of the elation of those earnings, peaked in the middle of May at about 3750. Well, what's the GDX today? Like 39? And yet we're, you know, talking, we're ahead of an earnings season where we're going to be based off of $1,930 gold. That's 300. That's 20% higher than what the earnings were based off in the first quarter. But yet the shares, if you want to use the GDX as an aggregate, are basically the same. Now, I don't know. I guess there are some bears out there that think that gold's going to go down here in the future, but I'm not putting myself in that camp. I think all the fundamentals that are driving precious metals higher for the last now nearly 2 years are just going to continue next year. And so by that metric, by that measure, by that outlook, man, the shares, particularly the producers, are pretty undervalued here.
So in all fairness, Craig, I feel like we've been talking about shares and producers being undervalued throughout really the last few years, even when gold started. Yeah, decade. That's the biggest problem, though, right, is that I get the argument that the shares are undervalued, but they're going to remain undervalued until we get some larger money coming into the sector. And fine, a couple weeks ago, maybe it was even a month ago, we heard of Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway buying a stake in Barrick. But fact of the matter is that still hasn't led to just a flood into these majors. And these majors still have done pretty well throughout this year, especially after that March washout. So they're still in an uptrend, but I don't know. It's hard to think that they're just going to get a pop higher, almost a euphoric move higher right now.
Yeah, you know, and they will at some point. That's one of the problems with timing and trading, is you can sit there and look at the chart and go, well, I'm expecting a certain C wave pullback and all that other jazz. And then all of a sudden, the metals go and you get this rush of money and then you're chasing. And so in a lot of respects, successful investing in the shares, you just got to be right about the overall trend. And then you just got to be patient, kind of hold on for dear life, like the Bitcoin people say, because you don't want to be timing and chasing and getting behind and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, and I think another thing that's still kind of an overhang, Corey, and I remember, you know, we've been talking about this for a couple of years, too. 2016, I think, is still a lingering component out there mentally for people. Because, yeah, I remember January 19th, 2016 was the day that the HUI index plunged to 99.19. It broke down through 100 and everybody freaked out. And that was the low. And that was January of 2016. And then it went to like 280 in about, what, 7 or 8 months. You know, and that whole way up, people are chasing, thinking, well, there's going to be a pullback and I'm going to get in. Well, I'll just wait. You know, I'm going to get in. And then, you know, a vast majority of people probably got in at the end thinking, okay, now I'll get in. They get the last 10% of the move, and then the rug gets pulled out from everybody, under everybody. You know, real interest rates start to go higher. You know, the dollar starts to get stronger. You get Trump elected, you know, and all the shenanigans in the markets that surrounded that. And people are like, oh, man, they just, you know, they get their faces ripped off. And they didn't profit from that at all. And so I think there's probably some lingering impact of that, still some hesitance. You know, people thinking, well, gold's done. This run is over with. And I don't want to, you know, they look at the GDX is up 90% since March, you know, in the last 6 months. That moves. I'll wait for it to come back. Well, okay, maybe. But you look at these companies, you look at how strong they are, how much money they're making, how much dividend, you know, the share buybacks, all this kind of stuff. And then you think, well, okay, but what if the dynamic does not change this time? That, you know, Powell's out there begging for treasuries to buy, to get more cash out there, to monetize more debt. The politicians eventually are going to get their act together and just start giving money away. Powell himself, you know, said a couple weeks ago, he wants unconventional monetary tools like helicopter money. So anyway, what if all this plays out beginning in the fourth quarter after the election into next year? What if gold does go higher? You know, we had a pullback like this last year, Corey. I remind everybody, you know, we hit our price targets, at least on my site, in early September, and then went sideways and consolidated all those gains all the way into December before moving back to those highs and finishing the year at 1520. Well, this year we hit all of our targets in July and August. And now here we are consolidating those gains again, maybe for 90 days. We're about 60 days into it. What if all of a sudden we're charging into the end of the year, just like we were last year, and setting up a springboard for next? Well, then maybe the shares don't pull back any further. Now, these are all things that, like I said, I think it's prudent to think about.
Fair enough. And a lot of maybes there, right? We don't know what's going to happen. But even using the recent Yamana results and the action today in the shares, I don't know. It's kind of interesting to see in the fact that Yamana is up, fine, about 5% today, but the overall sector is up, and Yamana, even after that 5% bump, really hasn't broken any of the at least short-term downtrend that it has been in. And on a daily chart, we do still have some key moving averages slightly above current price. Obviously, we would have liked to have seen Yamana move higher on the back of these earnings, but is that telling us that good earnings are, in a way, kind of priced into these majors already?
I don't know, Corey. You know, I think that's a fun talking point for you and I. I just don't know if the institutional type money that we're waiting on, you know, people that really can move markets, I'm not sure they're even paying attention to the sector at all, you know, to the extent that they will be in the months and years to come. And so I don't know. I don't want to infer too much, you know, take the Yamana earnings as anecdotal, you know, and say, well, you know, I think I'd be reluctant to say that that means everything's already priced in. Because again, this thing can kind of build on itself. We get the metals to start moving back higher, you know, all of a sudden start trading above 1920, the old all-time highs again in gold. begin to start moving back up above the 50-day moving average eventually, maybe near the election or after the election, finish the year strong and get people believing that, okay, the third quarter was at 1930. Maybe at least we can average 1930 again in the fourth quarter and you crank out the same amount of cash flow again. I think that sort of thing maybe makes it for a more compelling story over time that for now, I don't know, just I don't think there's still a lot of people paying attention to at the, you know, the institutional level.
Hey, that's fair. Even right now, there's a lot of people distracted by the election going on down in the U.S. One other thing to consider, too, is that gold, silver, precious metals, and all the underlying stocks have already done well this year, right? And I know that the gold bugs always want prices to be going higher and always waiting for that 10-bagger, waiting for just another double on a share price. But quite frankly, that doesn't build a strong long-term bull market. When we get these corrections and when we get grinds higher, that is much better and much more sustainable for markets. Remember a couple years ago when we had the S&P go up just 0.5% for pretty much every day? It was boring, but that's a nice bull market. I think that's something we all need to understand, too, is that corrections are healthy and, quite frankly, not reaching euphoric stages and euphoric moves, that's also healthy for a long-term bull market. Wrap us up with some of your comments on that general concept, please.
Dude, that's the big picture. And I'm so desperate almost every day on my side to keep reminding people of that big picture because it's almost just human nature. You just, God, gold's up today and my miners are down, blah. You know, I read that a lot, you know, but you got to focus on that big picture. And in the grand scheme of things, as I mentioned earlier, we were at 1520 last year, last tick of the year in the COMEX gold was 1519.95. And so when you sit here today, and you look at gold at, you know, basically 1895 or whatever it is. I mean, hot damn, that's awesome, right? Now, there are a lot of people that, you know, we hit 1920 on September 6, 2011. I mean, how many people were out there saying, we'll never be there again? Oh, that, you know. Well, guess what? Yeah, we have been there now. We've gone all the way to 2080. And so, yeah, keeping the big picture in mind is pretty important. I was silver wrapped up the year, I think, 1860, something like that. And here we are, 23, 24. I mean, that's not bad, especially considering, like I said, the five-year sojourn in the desert that we're on from 2013 to 2018. So, yeah, if I were to leave anybody with some I don't want to say words of wisdom, makes it sound like I'm some kind of old sage, but man, you got to keep your eye on the ball here in the big picture, the debt that is never going to be repaid, that can only be financed through the issuance of more debt. And that debt does not have buyers. And so the central banks are the buyers of last resort, creating new fiat currency from nothing, devaluing the current fiat currency as they do so. And so you can watch prices go up and down and we can get angst by the shares doing this or that on any certain day. But at the end of the day, the most valuable thing I have is my stack of physical precious metal. And though the price may change on a daily basis, the value of it just gets better and better every single day. And that's what I try to focus on.
All right, Craig, we're going to wrap it up here. I'm going to post a link to your website, and we're going to chat again next week. Who knows what we're going to be talking about, but it will be focused on the metal sector, and I'm half expecting prices to be probably right around where they are right now, but who knows? Maybe we get surprised to the upside. Hopefully not to the downside, though. All right, Craig, good chatting with you, buddy. Have a great rest of your week and a great weekend.
Danke schön and au revoir, mi amigo.